better.
I like it.
Well, there are two things to be done. First of all, we put him in the hospital and withdraw all television.
I see.
And then we give him this. Radio.
Good evening, I'm Daniel Keelman.
And I'm Kyle Lamont.
And this is episode 151 of Test Patterns, the podcast that you're listening to, obviously. Mm-hmm. And this is the rare time where Kyle and I are in the same room recording the episode.
Yeah, I drove up from San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Was it yesterday? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yesterday?
Yeah, you left at like 3 a.m.
Yeah, really, I was really. I definitely was not driving the first leg of the trip. I was sleeping hardcore. That's great.
You were really pulling your weight there.
Well, I slept later. Or I drove later. Slept some more later. And then, like, the final 15 minutes, I drove. Really, really solid. I think I started driving, like, around Sacramento. So, like, the final little stretch.
Yeah. That's all right. Yeah.
I felt bad because Steve, who's my sister's soon-to-be husband.
Right, yeah. Congratulations to them.
Yeah. He couldn't get to sleep, and he said, like, yeah, he took, like, a Xanax, and then he went to bed at, like, maybe, like, 11.
Oh, God.
And then they woke up at, like, 2-ish. Uh-huh. And then he just drove. Like, he was pounding Red Bulls.
Jeez,
and then
God.
He just crashed when we got
it. I remember my sister and I had a semi-similar journey when we went to Sasquatch a few years back when it was just the two of us going. And we... Because they did a weird thing where... It was one of the first years that they were doing the four-day schedule for that.
Yeah.
And we decided, okay, let's... Like, well, what do we want to do? Like, we were debating... leaving the night before and like getting a hotel like halfway up because we had work and everything. And so what we decided to do is we left at like something like 2 a.m. because it's like a 12-hour drive. It's like a 14-hour drive up actually. And I think we left at like 2 a.m. and we drove all the way through and everything.
Yeah.
And it was pretty miserable. Like I mean I don't really remember us having like a super hard time. I think we both just like traded off and fell asleep and everything. And it was like it was fine. Like weather was fine. But
yeah,
it was
nice for us because we left and we didn't have to deal with any of like the morning traffic.
SoCal morning traffic. Yeah. I can't imagine.
Because that starts way down there because it goes all the way.
Yeah.
Up to
it's funny you say that because I actually remember. A couple years ago when I drove down to LA with Ryan, my friend, and sometimes member of the show, we went down and we did the thing more like we left as soon as we both got off work. So like, 5 o'clock, and it's not that long of a drive from Sacramento to LA. It's like, 7 hours with traffic. You know what I mean?
Totally.
But I think we got to like, I think when we got through the Grapevine and like to LA, like it was something like, midnight and we just hit so much traffic going through there. There was like a road. I think some of the highway was closed
too. It's always construction.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
It's just, it was crazy. I'm just like, why? Like it's this late at night. Like what is going on? And there's like 10 lanes on the freeway there too. And it just,
let me talk a little bit about this is very specific to Rockland and I didn't realize this was there. And so I got off the freeway because I was getting close to it was like beginnings of rush hour.
Sure.
So I was like, I'll go down like Sunset. Everyone knows Sunset. This wasn't this.
All of our Rockland fans are freaking out right now. Like, I know what he's talking about.
And then I turn onto Rockland Road, right? Rockland Road?
Rockland Road.
It goes
Road,
by Taco Bell.
Everyone knows Taco Bell.
Sierra College.
Yeah.
Playboys.
Taco Bell's way more important than Sierra College, though. Way better.
Sexiest college.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, yes. Stephen Colbert went there one time. Yeah,
it's true. And so they have like two roundabouts, and it's just like really unnecessary. And they put in a bunch of new houses on the side.
It's just
weird because the thing about roundabouts, like, they should be a lot larger. And I've seen them popping up a lot more in just California in general.
Right.
Like, there's a home. Development near my parents' house, and there's a bunch of those, and they're like too tiny to be like actual like European or Eastern U.S.
right
roundabouts. So it just feels like they're just trying to spruce up the neighborhood, but it's not actually practical.
Well,
and people aren't used to using roundabouts here.
Right,
I'm done.
Well, congratulations, Kyle. You're old.
Yeah,
I'm glad we have this verified now.
I can't stand shame.
Oh, these roundabouts. Oh God. And the kids walking down the street.
I just want an old
listen
fashioned
to their iPods.
Red, green light.
Yeah, that's all
no
I want.
Yellow. You know,
I think They did it a few years ago, because I know what you're talking about, exactly. Yeah. And they put him in there to get rid of one or two lights, I think, that were possibly on the road. So, like, I think it was to make the flow of traffic better. And because there were some, like, I think the reason why there, again, fans of Rockland are just freaking out right now. They just, they're screaming at their
Wasn't
their
there a weird
device.
Road that came in at an angle? Because it was on the grid or something?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like, there was a couple of... Well, I think what it was is that there were a couple of roads that just people were constantly trying to turn out of. Ooh. And so, like, because there's a school over there and things like that. And so I think that was meant to alleviate that. There's roundabouts in downtown Sac now, too, which are... I think those are more to slow people down, though, than anything else. And, It's gonna happen, buddy. I mean, that's life. That's
gonna be everywhere.
It's
gonna run out of water and just roundabouts everywhere.
That's gonna solve the drought, gonna be. Yeah.
It won't be like Mad Max. It'll just be, roundabouts everywhere.
Right.
Everyone will be very courteous. They won't be killing each other.
They'll be courteous, but they'll be going in circles, though.
Yeah,
I was going to say, you mentioned Taco Bell, and it's very timely you mentioned that, because, again, fans of Rockland Taco Bell are freaking out again right now. That Taco Bell is going to be closing for the summer.
That's true.
Because it's going renovations. Yeah. It's going to finally... It has been the exact same Taco Bell that I worked at when I was in high school, like, 15 years ago working there. It's
I feel like Taco Bell is slower on that trend than, like, you know, McDonald's, a lot
McDonald's
of those.
Do it a lot, yeah.
A lot of McDonald's, they've been renovated and trying to make it, like, hip.
Yeah.
Kind of like...
They did, like, a cold diner style to
a
lot
of
them.
Yeah, it was, like, fast casual kind of stuff.
Right,
Chipotle is so big.
Right. Which is owned by McDonald's, actually. I think McDonald's owns Chipotle, yeah.
Oh my God.
Or maybe Walmart owns Chipotle. It's some, like, huge corporation owns Chipotle, so, yeah.
So it's not as cool as
It's just not as, you know, like,
fancy
indie
quotes,
as you think it is.
They put fancy quotes on their cups
to
make it seem like you're learning as you're eating this high-calorie food.
Yeah, delicious high-calorie food. But I think that...
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. We wish they were. Please, Chipotle, give us stuff. Yeah, Taco Bell is pretty slow on the renovations. I mean, it also just depends. That one is people are just fascinated right now. That's an independent Taco Bell. I know that too. It's not a, like, commercial one. So
the nitty gritty of the proprietary.
We know our audience.
Taco Bell.
They love Rockland. They love roundabouts.
Well, I think
contracts.
I think a lot of people that are listening to this, like, they grew up in the 90s. Like, it seems like Taco Bell, like, they lost their path. Like, they had, like...
They were big for a long time.
Taco Bell.
Yeah,
like,
no,
all these promotions
of
movies. And now they just have, like, this weird, like, late night slogan.
Yeah, they've been,
like,
doing that
fourth
lately.
Meal.
Yeah.
They're still doing that, or is that a long time ago?
Well, I'm not an employee of the place anymore, so I'm not following them as avidly as I used to.
You're not a marketer for
Taco Bell. I'm not selling Taco Bell. But, I mean, I do remember that marketing. And they do the open late thing now. I know about that.
Right.
I don't know. I mean,
get the people with the munchies coming.
I feel like Taco Bell is, like, a pretty stable fast food thing. Like, it's not going to change that much, and it's always pretty lot of variety for how little they have. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's the only, like, you know, reliable Mexican fast food.
Yeah,
place,
and
you know?
I don't think they've gone through, like, the PR disasters that McDonald's has gone through. Like, they're losing people, and they're trying to, like, scramble together. And,
yeah, I don't know if Taco Bell's really had anything, like. But neither have... Well, Carl's Jr. kind of went weird when they started doing their, like, super, like, catering to guys campaign, which is, I think, what they're still doing. Like, and that's, like, offended people, but
Carl's
it's also got attention.
Yeah, that was in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, that was, like, 2000s. And then And then, I don't know. Burger King never makes news. Nobody goes into Burger King's, though. And then,
I remember I used to really just flip my lid for Burger King. I don't know why. I think the latest thing with Burger King is that they had, like, those chicken fries. And for some reason, like, all the video game journalists, they're really interested in chicken fries. Just, like, the concept of it, like, it's like a fry, chicken.
Wait, is it just fried chicken? That's deep fried chicken.
It's
like,
just like chicken tenders, but like in a fry shape.
Well, video game journalists need to get back to work.
Kind of Reddit, I guess.
Sure, go find something to do.
Yeah, I feel like video game journalists, they secretly want to be food journalists as well. Like, food critics, rather.
Well, I can see that, because, I mean, you're a critic, so why would you not want to do that too? And video game, that's actually funny you mentioned that, because I do read more often than not, like, just, it's interesting how with a lot of, you know, going to video game sites and reading some posts every now and then, you'll see, like a lot of fast food collaborations with the video game industry. Yeah. And then it'll become news on the sites even too. Whereas most tie-ins with the industry, like you don't hear about like, you know, music
like it was
collaborating
like a tie-in
like
with
that.
Like Doritos and
right. Yeah. Like, exactly. Yeah. That is a news story, yeah. Which is like, why? Like, yeah, Uncharted had the thing with like Dr. Pepper or something like that.
Subway, they had the
right. Yeah. Like there's and like that becomes news, which is interesting. Like I don't know why the video games that matter so much.
I don't know.
Come on, Kyle.
Great. Yeah, I think it's just. I mean, a lot of people like they associate games with it being art, so
well, that's not helping.
No, what I mean is like they still like. It's also a product at the end of the day as well. So like it makes sense that they have cross promotion.
Oh no, I'm not criticizing the cross promotion. I'm criticizing that they make it news of the promotions. Like oh, Subway's partnering with Uncharted. It's like, okay, so what?
Getting kickbacks, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. I hope that we got sponsored in there somewhere by all those brands that we mentioned.
Oh yeah. We hit them all.
The only one we didn't mention was Jack in the Box, I was going to say. That's the one that is, they're always trying new things, it seems like.
Yeah, finding new...
I'm not saying it's good, I'm just saying.
New fingers and other body parts that go into their food. Wasn't it Jack in the Box that had, like, somebody's finger in a cup, or is that...
I thought it was Wendy's, I think. Wendy's, okay. Like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it was Wendy's.
These might be white, these might be...
This is real dated. This is
really bad.
All founded and just hard.
I think even a lot of those things were disproven. Like, I think they were just, like, said they
Urban
happened.
Legends
they, yeah, yeah, I think that's what it was, too. But
Burger King planted the store.
Probably, yeah.
Up their stocks. wait, actually, tying back to video games. Did you ever play those Burger King games?
No, but I did watch the videos on like Game Informer recently, and they were fascinating to say the
least. I remember playing those.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You played them?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it was like a stealth game.
That was one, like, I forget what it was called.
He was, like, sneaking around.
Yeah,
like
it was the
King.
The King. Yeah, the weird mascot they had.
Yeah, somebody had it at a college, and I played it.
Because I'm like, why did you come across this game? So, it's like $5, but they were, like, garbage. Like, why would you play it?
So worth it. Just endless hours of entertainment. I was doing, like, fast runs through it. Just speedruns, I mean.
Let's play videos. Commentary. All right, well, this has all been very exciting. I'm glad you're here, Kyle. It's nice doing an episode with you. No, it really is nice to have you in the room and everything. It's because we don't...
Sort of. Let's downplay a little bit.
Okay. No. Oh, never mind. You're not in the room at all. It's like it normally is. Or it's not exciting. It's not exciting at all. But yeah, there we go. But with that occasion, we just talk about this week's episode, I think. But before we talk about this week's episode, I would like to say, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to support the show... through buying things on Amazon, you can do that, and you don't have to change much. All you have to do is click on a link that we give you, and what happens is you click, so you're, let's say, you know, you want to go to Amazon. We talked about Subway, we've talked about Uncharted. You want to go there and buy yourself a Subway or buy a copy of Uncharted. Well, you can go to Amazon to get those things. However, you shouldn't just go to Amazon. You should use a link that we give you, because what you do is you buy your thing on Amazon, and Amazon sends us a little bit of the money you spend. No extra money to you. Amazon just gets us money for saying Amazon. Now, all you have to do is use a link that we give you, and that link can be found a couple places. One is in the show description. Kyle puts it in there a couple times. He does our technical writing there, because we were talking about that earlier. I was like, that's technical writing. I was thinking about that. And, super inside joke between our conversation earlier today.
From yesterday,
yeah. And
I have a certificate for it, so it's a fun
thing. Oh, it's an official. Yeah. Official. Oh, very exciting. Yeah. Wow, I didn't know we had an official technical writer on this podcast.
It's and a medal.
it's a high mark on your career, that's for sure. And you click on that link. It's in there a couple times. We make it very obvious. If you click on that link, that does the job for you. Or you can go to our very, very awkwardly website, but great website, clearly, testpatterns.libsyn.com. Testpatterns.libsyn.com. And
syndication.
That's what our podcast provider is. We should get money from them. I say their name every week with that Libsyn name. Jeez, come on. Give us some free hosting, Libsyn. Get with it. I know they listen to this. And, God, this chair's squeaking so much.
Libsyn.
And Mr. Libsyn.
Sounds like it would actually be a name.
That would be a name. I'm pretty sure it is.
Like Lipscomb or something.
Probably. Or Libsyn. And then just click on any of those things. Or if you just Google test patterns, I think you could go to even our old Podomatic page, and I put the link on there too.
Oh,
so
man,
just
Podomatic. It's like
it's still there. We still use it. It's our iTunes account.
Like the old West.
Yeah, I know. I'm still stuck with that. But Neither here nor there. If you use any of those links, just bookmark it and you can ignore everything I just said and just use that link every time, and it helps support this show. And we do appreciate it. But
yes, we do.
Let's move on. Both of us do. Yeah. Let's move on to this week's episode. Episode number 151 of Test Patterns. First up, we're going to be discussing the debut of a new Netflix television series.
Grace and Frank.
Thank you, Kyle. My screen was on screensaver.
Dramatic
prompt. Yeah, I was really holding for effect there. Grace and Frankie on Netflix. Then we have a slept-on television show of Kyle's choosing, the Ray Bradbury Theater. And lastly, we have the third solo album from... Is she British?
She's Irish.
Irish singer Roisin Murphy with her latest album, Hairless Toys. And that's going to tie it all up for you. So Kyle, any other final thoughts before we get started on the first one here?
No. My mind is completely
Got your roundabout... complaints out of the way. You're good now.
Yeah, I think I'm spent with all the 90s references, all the
no, you're
fast
not.
Food
They're
going to
come back.
Should we do an episode with just like all 90s stuff.
I would love that. Yeah. That'd be so easy. I mean, we'll talk about Spin Doctors and talk about Morning Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. That'd be great. All right. Well,
that's we should do that.
I'm down with that. It sounds like
this
a good
is a
idea.
Podcast where we plan for future podcasts.
This has happened before. No, it really has. They're like, oh, we should do that.
It's a springboard for future podcasts.
This podcast is a springboard for other podcasts, other episodes. It's amazing. You're watching the magic, people. Or listening. All right, so first up, we're going to discuss the latest Netflix comedy series, Grace and Frankie.
We want to talk to you about something. Saul and I are in love.
Excuse me? You're gay?
We want to get married.
Oh, married?
Because we can do that now.
I know. I hosted that fundraiser. Well, I don't
know why. I'm heartbroken.
You're going to make better memories, and you can reuse the frames.
They're gonna be fine. We're gonna be fine. I'm so
scared. Mom, we're gonna find you people to talk to. People who understand exactly what you're going through.
This is a group for wives of husbands who've turned gay in their 70s.
I am young. My joints are supple.
Yes, Robert is my law partner, but we are also homosexual law and bed partners with each other in life. Boy, this partner thing is really confusing, isn't it?
Another week, another Netflix sitcom series, whatever you want to call them, a dump of episodes. So this week we're going to talk about Grace and Frankie, which is a new comedy that premiered on Netflix on May 8th. And the series was created by Marta Kaufman, who was behind Friends, and then also Howard J. Morris, who was behind Home Improvement. My perfect rendition.
Is Tim Allen in the room? Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And so it stars Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin of 9 to 5 fame and many other movies and TV shows.
Buns of Steel or whatever. Jane Fonda, what'd she do? She did the...
I think somebody else.
No, it's Jane Fonda, I'm pretty sure. Oh. She did like the whole, like the something. Thymus? Like she had Thighmaster or something like that. Like, I'll look it up right now, but I'm very
positive. And so the plot for the show is kind of like a First Wives Club, but with the husbands turning out to be gay. It's not a spoiler because everyone knows it.
This is in the first like 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's first 2 minutes. And so the ladies, they're longtime kind of friends, rivals, because they're just kind of, their husbands were business associates, and they're played by Sam Waterston and Martin Sheen. So all great actors, like well-known.
Yeah.
They've been in like big movies and TV shows as well. And they announce like very early on in the first episode, like, we're in love with each other. We have been in love with each other for the last like 20, 30 years. Was that?
Like, yeah, it's a really long time. Yeah.
And that we're divorcing you. And then the drama and the comedy ensues from that.
Right.
And how many episodes did you watch?
I only watched the first one.
I'm on the same page. I think we're going to go down the same path here.
That says a lot.
I hate
right
to say it. Like, I really like a lot of what Netflix does, but I'm getting a little tired of like just jumping on the bandwagon with whatever is like going to be a hit. And it makes sense from a business perspective because it's transparent, got a lot of buzz.
Right.
And this is kind of like another version of it, I think, and not a particularly great version. And I don't want to like paint it with like a broad brush that it's just like trying to be an easy cash-in for people that already are gobbling up Netflix content. But it just doesn't feel very inspired from the comedic side. I thought there was some pretty good dramatic scenes in the first episode. And my wife, she ended up, she really likes 9 to 5, so she likes those two actresses. They're both in that. And so she kept watching it, and she's, and I watched a few episodes like in the background when she was watching it. And it even hit the same kind of beats, like they go to a funeral of like another business partner of the guys. And it just, they have the same, like, the kids are like kind of wrestling with it, but not in like a real like humanistic kind of way. They're kind of like annoying. Just
they
have some really bad lines that we've talked about.
Yeah.
What do you think about them?
Well, or just first, the premise, really? First I should say that it was Jay and Fonda's workout, and it was the highest selling video of all time. So it was, it was a very, very big deal. Yeah. But I'm on point with you on everything. I thought that the premise is like, it does feel like it's catching on the Transparent bandwagon, but it may not at the same time, only because it, like, who knows when they were both in development.
Sure.
They're tonally, they kind of feel like they're trying to be a similar tone with one another, but they are very different. Like, and when I found out that this was co-created by the guy who made Friends, the guy who made Home Improvement, or, like, it definitely...
The woman was behind...
Friends. It made a lot of sense. I'm just like, it's because this feels like dated sitcom all the way through. Like, there's so many jokes at the expense of the guys being gay, which I don't find offensive. I just find lazy. Like, there's just like, you know, like one of the jokes
I
remember...
see people, like, people that are younger, I think there might be some people that find them kind of offensive.
They might. Oh, offensive?
Yeah, because at this point,
yeah,
like,
sure,
it's
I can
not,
see that, yeah.
Like, the main line that I'm thinking about is, like, Martin Sheen's, I think it's Martin Sheen's, yeah.
I don't know.
One of
keep going.
The daughters that come in and
yes.
they're talking with the wife and the husband.
Right.
And they're basically like, well, how am I gonna tell this to my kids? Like,
yeah.
And
then
the other in the other sister, she's like, well, just start with like we're just poop.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same joke, and
really
I'm like,
lazy,
it's
and also
it's very lazy.
I thought it was kind of just a smidge
offensive. I was gonna say the exact same one as like that one was like a little bit offensive, and just like how ignorant are these people? Like we've progressed as a nation fairly, and these also like it's not like the characters are dumb people either. Like they're well off, like smart. Successful people, and they come off as just very, very dumb and ignorant, not with the times at all.
There's also
that one joke where, like, there's also a lot of tri jokes too, where like Lily Tomlin's in that store and she grabs the Ben and Jerry ice cream and she says,
like,
Ben and Jerry, like, she talks to that lady, she's like, you think they ever were more than just friends or something like that?
Just
like,
making ice cream.
Yeah, and it's like, well, that's a really dumb joke.
And partially what I didn't like about that scene where the daughters come in storming and they have that mention about where does poop come from. It's just like the way that intended joke that was as crap as it was written, like the scene was like awkward because everyone reacted like as when someone would react to that kind of line, like they're like, ugh. Like,
just
weird. It landed with a thud. But I did like some of the dramatic moments that felt a little more real to that particular situation with the two leads.
It's strange because females. Like I agree, like the comedy on here just like it doesn't really work at all, but there are like some interesting dramatic points in it that I thought everyone was like well acted for what the material. I just think the writing's bad. Like I think the actors all do a good job. Like Tomlin and Fonda have good chemistry, and so does Watterson and Sheen. Like Sheen is really good. I mean, Sheen's always really good, and I liked watching him.
You don't
him
like
in this.
Watterson as much.
I don't. Newsroom really ruined me for him, and he's also like he just something about his cadence I don't like. But but Sheen is really, really good in this though.
Yeah,
and it addresses some interesting issues too. When like Tomlin does have those lines, like where she says, "I don't remember the last time we slept together." You know, like there's some like.
Well, she says like, "I don't remember the last time I slept alone."
Yeah, oh, right, so she, right.
And they sleep together, and then
and this is after
it's
they
like
found
a
out
sad moment, but also kind of like remembering of like they did love each other
exactly,
and it's not like and he realizes that, and I feel like the rest of that episode, and then the few moments that I watched of the episodes after that, just felt like it devolved into like ladies in their 60s or 70s,
which
just like. Yeah, smoking pot or like doing crazy stuff or like
Well, and we should also say like the I guess like the maybe the comedy or drama is supposed to come from the fact that, like, Tomlin and Fonda are two Grace and Frankie, the title characters.
Yeah.
They're kind of opposites. Tomlin's character is, like, a hippie kind of liberal-leaning thing, and Fonda's a more prudish, I don't know.
Yeah, Tomlin's her two boys are, like, they have, like, funny, like, hippie names.
Right.
And one is black. And,
right, yeah, right.
Like, she obviously...
And there's also lazy jokes, like, even getting away from the whole, like, homosexual subject matter, there's also just lazy jokes where Tomlin's character goes on a vision quest, and she, like, takes all these drugs, basically, to go and see visions. And Fonda joins her. And again, it's, like, we've seen this so many times before, like...
Yeah,
with various
age categories, like, whether it's, mm-hmm. like... 40-year-old.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's not a novelty to see, like, people in their 60s doing it. Yeah, and it's really a shame, too, because they're all really good actors, and, like, I do wish there were more roles for older actors in this day and age. Like, it is hard.
Especially older
women. And it's a shame when this is what it is, because it's, like, it's great that there's something for them to be in. Like, it's an interesting subject matter. It's uncharted territory. Like, Transparent was different because that was strictly... just Jeffrey Tambor's journey as a, you know, I mean, the wife did come in, but I mean, he was like...
I thought the wife's character was really strong.
No, she was, but I'm just saying she wasn't a prominent player in this, which this is about, like, nothing but older people, and, like, in their 60s at least. Sorry, any older listeners. And and it's interesting to, like, because they have stories, too, that can be told that, or we can put them in situations that would be interesting. And
this is not really well written, like, as far as, like, the character's not... structure in a way that's, like, gonna elicit, like, a strong, like, either comedic or dramatic reaction.
Right.
So it just kind of brings it down and makes it, like, just boring. Like,
yeah.
Like, why am I watching this?
Yeah, honestly, that's all it is. It's just really boring. Like, parts of it could be viewed as offensive, but even that's, like, it's not even enough to get me riled up to want to see any of it. I just, I came away from it very
bored. It's no, like, anger management on FX.
Right, which is, like, so bad that there's, like, sometimes that's on late at night on TV, and, like, I have had a tendency to, like, watch it for, like, 2 minutes just because I'm curious. But this, if this was on for some reason, there's just nothing happening with it, really. I don't know. I don't even know. I don't think this has been getting received too well. I'd be curious.
Yeah, the reviews have been pretty middling.
Yeah, I mean,
some
I admire...
kind of liked it.
I mean, I get... I like that Netflix, though, they are constantly churning out things, and they do have, like, these really, really quality names attached to the stuff. Like, it seems like they're, you know, rivaling HBO when it comes to the talent they acquire to work on their shows.
Yeah, and I heard that there's a... I can't remember the exact name, but there's an upcoming show.
Of course there is.
There's a new
Orange is the New Black is back in, like, 2 weeks. Like, I didn't even know that. I'm like, God.
Oh,
like, I thought it just happened.
But there's, like, a new show that's just starting. And I don't know if it's a miniseries, but it's not doing the usual, like, dump 13 episodes.
Oh, they're going to do them one at a time.
They're doing, like, either one episode a week or, like, the first six, and then...
Sure.
And then after that first initial burst, like, they'll do one.
Sure. I think that's a good idea, because, I mean, there is something to be... Everyone wants to watch in a different way. I like for instance, Community is on Yahoo Screen, and I like that it's a new episode every week.
Yeah.
Like, because otherwise I would just watch that all at once, and all the jokes would be... kind of forgettable because they're like, I enjoy having
fun together.
Yeah, and so I enjoy the pacing, but I mean, you can also control that too. So, like, with some of these Netflix shows, like, I remember when I was doing Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, because I watched that first season, I did pace myself with that one because I wanted to have that. So, regardless.
Yeah, it depends on the show. Like, I remember rushing through, like, stuff like Lost and Breaking Bad to, like, catch up to where people were at that time. And I wish, for those kind of shows, like, I want, like, more dramatic stuff.
Right.
I want to, like, simmer with episode for a little while. We have some recaps. Like,
right.
Kinda
Breaking Bad was really good for that, too.
Yeah,
yeah. Lost kind of got stupid, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, everyone hates Lost now, though.
Yeah. At the time, people were, like, unpacking
it. I was into it,
really unpacked.
Yeah, no, that's true. but back to good old Grace and Frankie. I mean, it'll be... interesting if it gets picked up for another season. I don't know how Netflix does its, like, analytics of this stuff. You know what I mean? Because they don't release how many people are watching it, and they don't release...
There was that one report where they showed, like, how it drops off. Like, Daredevil was doing pretty well, like, first steady, but it was kind of... It wasn't, like, concrete.
But that already got renewed for another season. Like, they're golden with that one.
But, yeah, people just don't really know about some of these shows. Did Marco Polo, does that...
Oh, yeah, back? That was them.
That was one that just...
I don't know. We were going to review it, and, yeah, I don't think... It might be. I don't know. That happened. I mean,
Anyway, this is a review.
I know now we're now yeah we're talking about Grace and Frankie. Obviously, I mean it's I like what Netflix is doing. They're definitely putting out different things with different talent, and but they're not all going to be winners.
This wasn't for me, but I can see some of the appeal. It's just if you want to get something that's similar, I would just go watch Transparent. Or
Transparent's a better show, a lot more explicit and transparent. But sure, but this one is like
it's a little lighter fare that you can kind of like watch in the background.
Yeah.
It's, and I think there's some good. There's still like some good performances in there because they're obviously like well.
Yeah, I agree.
Like well trained actors that have led like very varied careers, both comedy and dramatic ways. But it just it doesn't. Yeah, it just goes back to the writing.
It's all the writing, yeah. Which I mean, again, once it was The Person Who Made Friends and Home Improvement, I was like, oh, those are two shows that are not. I mean, I know people have a affection for Friends, but I don't. So yeah.
And Home Improvement.
And does anybody have an affection for Home Improvement?
No.
Oh.
That's going to be the next one that's...
I know. That well, comes Netflix went Full House for crying out loud. Full House. Jeez. Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah.
No.
I'm surprised you haven't dug into it yet?
I've kind of been purposely avoiding that one. I mean, like, I had
you,
a big...
You know the plot like setup for that?
No.
The plot setup is that... I think it's DJ. Is DJ the older...
The oldest daughter, yeah.
Yeah. She, as a husband...
Okay. Is it the guy from the show?
It might be Steve. No, God. I don't know if they got married. I didn't follow all the way through. He dies. So it's like exactly like the beginning of the first.
Oh, my God.
And then she moves in with her sister.
Oh, my God.
Who knows who else?
Oh, my God.
And the people pop by.
I'll be curious for that one just because
the same,
I did.
The same house, by the way.
Of course. No, why would it? Well, yeah, why would they not do that? Now that house is worth like $10 million, I'm sure, if it was really in San Francisco. It'll have Google Voice everywhere in it. We're done talking about Grace and Frankie, but I will just say a very quick Full House story for me is that I remember I wouldn't call it obsessed. I just had it was the same way that I watched Saved by the Bell, where for my first year at SF State when I moved out, it was on twice a day at my lunch break, basically.
Oh, that's right.
And for some reason I would watch it, and I don't know why. I don't know why. I would just watch them, and I went through the whole series.
I did that when it was on the air, where it's like,
yeah, I did
at that
too.
Point where like you stopped watching animated shows,
right.
And also
that
kind of stuff, like Boy Meets World.
When it was popular,
it's still
too.
Like,
man.
Yeah, it was just everywhere, and you came home from school, and it was there.
Yeah,
same thing with like Fresh Prince and all that.
Right,
and then even then, I was just like, "What the hell am I watching?"
Yeah. Even then, I wasn't like in love with it, but yeah. Anyway, okay. So that's Full House for you, and that is also Grace and Frankie on Netflix, which is all streaming as of this moment right now, the whole first season. But yeah, we both recommend skip it. Next up, we are going to be discussing the slept on television series of Kyle's choosing from HBO back in the day. Yeah. The Ray.
Just a TV show.
Just slept on TV show? Not a classic. Slept on TV show. We'll
see if it's slept on, but
We will indeed. The Ray Bradbury Theater.
Here, test patterns. We're slowly going through every single anthology television show, mostly from HBO during the 80s and 90s. And we got another one.
You dug another one up.
Also, all pretty much available on HBO, or not HBO, but
on YouTube. Yeah,
rather.
YouTube's a great preservation for these old anthology shows.
Great transfer on YouTube, by the way. Just like pristine.
Criterion level
4K.
Oh yeah.
And so Ray Bradbury, I really like this writer. I've read a lot of his short stories. He's most notably like the writer of like Fahrenheit 451 and Dandelion Wine and Martian Chronicles.
Yeah, did a lot of sci-fi,
horror stuff, and a lot of his short stories show up, and he adapts all of them for this series. Which started in HBO for the first two seasons, I think, and then went on to USA Network for the rest. And I don't know, like HBO at the time, they're just doing tons of anthology shows.
I'm always
and they've done it recently with like Masters of Horror was like kind of the.
It,
it's later kind of, 2000s.
It's kind of funny because we keep discovering these from HBO, but like it's actually no different than how HBO still is. Like they're just a lot more well known now for the quality, yeah. But like back then they were essentially doing the not the same thing because it's kind of like schtitzy in a way, but like
yeah, they're like
or silly
cheaper production.
Cheaper, overall. Yeah, that's
like,
a good way.
And they got a lot of people that like became bigger,
yeah,
stars and yeah. directors.
Well, and the fact that this is called the Ray Bradbury Theater is a pretty big deal. I mean, I can't yeah. think of any other show where it's a pretty renowned. Contemporary classic author doing it, it's that kind of boggles my mind that he like was such a big part of this.
Yeah, well, and his stories have definitely been an influence on a lot of things, like they're referenced in right. like everything from The Simpsons to
right.
like other like anthology shows and, right. and movies. So and a bunch of those pop up here, like there was a movie adaptation of it, but that dinosaur one, the Sound and Thunder.
Mm-hmm. I didn't watch it.
The movie's not good.
Oh, okay.
The actual episode is.
Wait, what's the movie? Fine. What's the movie called?
Basically, the premise for that.
What's it called, though?
Sound and Thunder.
Oh, right. Sounds kind of familiar, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, anyway. That might be might be a different kind of title for the movie. Oh. But that's the name of the short story in the episode. You being a big fan of The Simpsons, you probably had it. You've seen this spoof of it where it's like the butterfly effect.
Oh.
They go back and they hunt dinosaurs.
Sure.
They go back from... No?
No. I know the Simpsons episode. It's just funny that I didn't know they go back and hunt dinosaurs in the book, like the Ray Bradbury one.
Yeah. Well, in the short story, but yeah.
Right. But I'm saying, no, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And then it's just the actual episode is a little hokey.
Uh-huh.
As far as... Yeah, the effects aren't too bad for the actual dinosaur. Like, they're practical, so it hasn't aged...
Mm-hmm.
As terribly as like if they used special effects at the time.
It is a Sound of Thunder and it's the butterfly sound, effect essentially. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that was him.
Okay. Yeah, and that's been referenced a lot in like so many movies.
Oh god, yes, yeah. There's a freaking movie called The Butterfly Effect. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like an old, like I think from 1890s, the actual like scientific theory.
Sure.
So I really like that about him, like he has a wide gamut of like interesting stories.
Mm-hmm.
But this series is a little... It's kind of the same thing as like when we talked about Tales from the Dark Side. Like, kind of low rent. Like,
I can see that.
I watched one episode with like Jeff Goldblum that I told you about. And it had like a really bad premise.
He was in an episode of this, of Ray Bradbury Theater?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, that, and that's the thing is like the talent is really there. Like in the episode that I watched, the Marionettes Inc., like Leslie Nielsen is in it. I'm just like, I'm just really impressed with the people they get to meet these
people.
Things. Yeah.
It's... So what did you think about this one?
I mean, this one definitely fell on the side where I know another one. It wasn't bad by any means. Like I've got a soft spot in my heart for anthologies. Although Amazing Stories is probably the only one that I'm like not that interested in exploring more.
Sorry,
Kyle. It was also like they were also an hour long, so they're just long in general. Yeah. But I mean, I certainly found it interesting because like Ray Bradbury like had all of these, you know, really, really groundbreaking novels that I certainly haven't heard of. I'm not like a big reader of his, but I do like it. And so I like the idea of it for sure. And I like that he's really involved. Like, didn't he like adapt all of them too for the show?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so I like that it's like in his control and everything. I think that the quality is a little bit low when it comes to just like being like 80s TV, I guess. I mean...
Well, and a lot of the twists are just kind of more confusing than anything else.
Yeah, even that first one like doesn't really have a twist. It's more just like the way that it goes. I mean,
yeah. Well, there's another episode called the Crowd,
mm-hmm.
where this guy sees someone get hit by a car, and then it's actually kind of prescient because it's a lot of found footage in a horror movie, which
it's like Blair Witch like or something like that. No, that's way out of its time, yeah.
And you know, he's got like a JVC camcorder. Uh-huh. And then like it slowly unravels that basically he's dead and he's going to heaven. It's like it's not a twist, like you see it a mile away.
Right.
But I like the way it was acted and like constructed, even in the like its very low budget way.
Right.
And there's a few others like that. Like it's a little hokey, but there's another one called The Silent Assassin, I believe, where a mother she gives birth to a baby, and...
It's an assassin.
It is.
The sniper rifle.
And it's just, like, it's a really creepy... I think I like it because I actually had this idea, like, this exact same idea for a short story. Just because, like...
Bradbury. Still looking again.
Still curses. And it's just, like, a real creepy episode because, like, you see it zooms in on, like, the kid, like, the baby's face, and he's just, like... you know, like babies, they make weird noises. Like if you rattle them, like in these like this raspy, like kind of rattly voice, not a voice, but like a harsh breathing.
Right.
And basically, the wife thinks like, "Oh, this baby's gonna kill me."
Oh.
And then it ends up killing her, and it's pretty dark.
So she was right.
Yeah. And then the doctor comes in. He's the only one that kind of slightly believes the believes her.
Sure.
And he. It's really stupid, but he pulls out a scalpel. He's like, "I'm the one that brought you into this world. I'm the one that's going to take you out." And they show the glint of the scalpel, and then it cuts. Obviously, I got to show him like kill a baby, it's pretty dark.
It's pretty dark, though. Yeah. You won't even see a lot of stuff like that now. Jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
I mean, and that's kind of what I took away from it too, which is that I like that it's this fell into the category where I'm glad it exists. I didn't love it or hate it really. Like I feel like it, in like mini anthology series, I feel like it's going to be hit or miss. Like you know, some of the episodes you've talked about, like they sound really really cool.
Yeah, I think the ones that are his bigger short stories, like he's done a few actually that are kind of based in the Martian Chronicles universe for this show.
Heard of that, yeah.
And those are better. I like his real like sci-fi horror stuff. Mm-hmm. Later on, he did stuff that wasn't necessarily like. Kind of genre based, like those kind of genres. It was just kind of like normal people doing whatever they want to do.
Right.
And those, it was more about like the psychology of like, when is someone going to break and actually kill someone?
Right.
Or do this. It was like thriller stuff, and episodes didn't work.
See, and I feel that. Even though I haven't seen that much of this, that comes across right away because I feel like the problem with this is partially that. When he probably decided to write most of these stories, he had, you know, a clear intention of, oh, I'm going to, you know, show this kind of horror. I want to explore this kind of future where we have these devices or something like that. Whatever, that's fine. But then in adapting it to TV, I don't think that
he was fresh to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think he wasn't. I mean, at the time, too, TV wasn't considered a serious, like, you know, art or entertainment that much. Not to say there wasn't going on, but I'm just, it's not like it was now. And so, like, I think that he took it with that same approach where it's like, oh, I'm just going to adapt this just so it can be told as a TV story. Instead of taking it and being like, okay, how can I take this story and translate it to be effective? Because I'm sure the original short stories are effective.
Right.
But if you just do it one-to-one or just schlocky. Whereas if you go back further in time to Twilight Zone, the granddaddy of all anthology shows, like that one...
A lot of them were made just for the show. Like a few of them...
Oh, really?
A good handful of them were actually adapted from previous short stories or whatever, but a lot of them are just made for format.
Right, but it doesn't feel like with Twilight Zone...
Felt like that. Like, with Ray Bradbury, a lot of them are kind of like kind of weird translations of the original.
The ones that are adapted, I guess. I mean, I can't speak because I haven't read any of the stories that were adapted or anything, but I'm just saying... With Twilight Zone... I feel like, you know, the creative team there were saying, like, we want to tell a story that does this, explores this, or whatever it was. And they're all not winners either, by far. There's a lot of bad Twilight Zone episodes. But, like, they then go in and they really, really focus on that. And this one, it feels like, you know, they maybe have an interesting premise, or they have a hook at the end, I guess. But they don't really know how to build a whole show around
it. Yeah, they don't know how to build a universe. And especially the really bad ones, they don't build out like really interesting characters that you want to root for.
See, that's part of the one that I saw, like, it's so, again, like Twilight Zone, like that I Sing the Body Electric episode where it's like this marionette's ink, where it's about this guy and he's married to this woman and he like hates her, and he discovers that he can have like a clone of himself, basically, like, you can do all the work for me and I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, and I've read the short story, it's the same thing. Like, it's about it's kind of like a Stepford Wives kind of situation.
Right,
where they're like, have annoying wives, but like, the reverse, like, I want to get out of this situation.
Right.
And other, like, even that Black Mirror Christmas special is kind of touched on that with one of those episodes where, you know what, I want to do this part of my life. Like, I want to have, like, a robot or an AI do it.
Right.
And it's a very, like... interesting theme to explore, but it's just not explored in a
it's
schlocky and
it's like you go on dates with my wife. Ugh, I don't want to do what I mean, like, it's like,
and then what has been like, he's like locked in the basement,
right? they both confront each other in the basement and the guy kills him. Yeah, the clone kills him, basically.
Yeah,
and
it's the problem that a lot of Tales from the Crypt episodes fall into, where it ends up being just like a bad like film noir episode.
Yeah, pretty
where
much.
Where someone dies and steals their money and runs off.
Yeah.
Or gets their comeuppance for doing that set act.
Right. Which, I mean, I don't know. So, I mean, Slept On, definitely. Is it a classic? I mean, I don't really know. I can definitely see why nobody's talked about this, because it's not, I mean, it certainly is a weird place in history, but it's not compelling enough to be something that's like, you know, oh, they can get remastered. Like, I have no clue how these found their way to YouTube. Like, if they were on DVD and somebody...
They were on DVD.
Okay.
And it makes... The transfer on that is really, really crappy.
Sure.
Like, you can get it for like $6 on the
Amazon. Oh, no, fascinating.
Dude.
Just make sure you click through like Test Pass.
Tales from the Dark Side. And then it's on YouTube later on.
So. Right.
Okay. So, yeah, it's a really rough show overall. I like some of the brighter spots, kind of like Zero Hour is a really cool one with, it's talking about like the potential threat of an alien invasion.
Sure.
Like, just going back, I really like when he writes sci-fi, because I think he deals with, like, a lot of the overarching themes of that situation, and then also, like, character moments. But it's just, it's really rough around the edges overall.
Right.
Especially since it transferred over to USA Network. When it did that, it's kind of like the Sliders thing. Like, it just lost track of, like, what they were originally going to do with the show.
Yeah, and it's not like it being on HBO was deserved. Like, it's not that graphic from what I mean, like, that one episode you're talking about is kind of out there, but it wasn't like this wasn't able to be tamed for you. So I don't imagine they would change, like, oh, now we can't, you know, have explicit curse words or something like that.
No, it had nothing to do with, like, the actual rating of the episodes, but it was just kind of like the themes were kind of just all mixed. Like, it wasn't as pinpointed.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to do stuff that's, like, sci-fi and horror.
Right.
Like, they threw in a bunch of other random...
USA Network's going to be a lot more just, like, kind of middle America, like, family values kind of things. Yeah. I don't really think of sci-fi.
Yeah. One other episode, since they're all on YouTube, it's, like, easy to just look them up.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the William Shatner's in it. The guy's
everywhere
for these
any anthology,
things.
Yeah.
And I really like that one because it's about this... guy, and he has a son whose son's kind of like a pushover. He, you know, gets bullied. He doesn't want to go to this certain playground that's really creepy. He doesn't want to go, like, anywhere near dusk or nighttime, basically. And then you slowly learn that William Shatner's character, when he was a kid, he got bullied, like, just relentlessly.
Sure.
And there's a cool, like, slow unraveling of that character, like, he goes back in time, and it's pretty interesting. I like the way it ends too. It's pretty dark.
Yeah.
So,
well, any other standout parts of it you want to talk about?
That's about it. It's a little rough.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like a little check off.
Right.
I don't have to watch that again.
Right. Well, you bought it, so I mean, you certainly wanted to see all of it. I would say, I mean, there certainly are really devoted Ray Bradbury followers. Yeah. And if you're a Ray Bradbury fan, this is a no-brainer. Like, it's certainly it's worth your time then, I can imagine.
Yeah, I liked a lot of the ones that he adapted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would just say if
like
you're
the more well-known.
Stories. Like the Butterfly one and stuff like that. So I would, or the Sound, A Sound of Fury is what that one's called, I think. So
Sound of Thunder.
Sound of Thunder, sorry. Yeah. So I would just say, you know, if any of these episodes have sounded interesting, or if you hear of one, then it's certainly worth just going on YouTube and watching it. And it's anthology, so it's there, and you give it a watch. But otherwise, I would not say, like, oh, like, this is major Slept On, you need to go discover this classic.
They follow into all the gimmicks of this genre.
Right.
It still continues. But I still find it, like, very fascinating, even when they fail.
Yeah. These anthology series are definitely all, as odd as it is, I mean, like, between the ones we've done, like, Tales from the Dark Side, Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt. They all, well, Dark Side and Crypt were kind of ripoffs of, Dark Side was kind of a ripoff of Crypt. But I mean, they've all taken pretty, you know, their own unique approach on the formula. And I like that. Yeah. So I mean, that's,
even Amazing Stories.
And Amazing Stories did too. Yeah.
Spooker game kind of.
Yeah, it was more family oriented and everything, which is fine. So I mean, I like that they all have, there's so much you can do with a genre, and they all have pretty unique takes. So it's nice. But not all good movies, as you.
Yeah, I would just say, like, if you really like Ray Bradbury, like, check out those short stories that were adapted that you really like.
Right.
And then some of the ones that we talked about, but only if you're really, really into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is for, like, the diehards. Like, I'll never talk about it again. I promise.
Not even at the fan club meetings for Ray Bradbury. So that is the Ray Bradbury Theater, which is airing on YouTube. You can watch it all right there, right now.
Every week, airing on YouTube.
Every week on YouTube. Next up and lastly, we're going to be discussing the third solo album from Royston Murphy with her new album, Hairless Toys. This week finds the long in waiting, I guess. I don't know, dormant Royston Murphy releasing her third solo album called Hairless Toys. For a little bit of background on her, she was known before that for being a part of the duo Moloko. Thank you. And that was a project she did with her then boyfriend Mark Bryden. I guess it's a Bryden. I don't know. Pronounced, but either way, she was they had some success with that, and then they broke up, and she had a really, as you were telling me earlier, like, she's really, really popular in the UK, and like over here she's kind of
a lot of dance house techno,
sure,
just a mishmash of things.
It's kind of like how what's her name, Kylie Minogue, is like popular everywhere else in the world but here. Like, I mean, she's kind of known here for sure, but I mean, not everywhere else. She's like Madonna, and here she's just like a
What is it in, like, isn't Robin, like, bigger over Europe?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Robin's...
People know her.
But Robin's, like, gotten, like, she's a little more... She's had some more hits here now. But it's a similar... Like, she's not like Lady Gaga, whereas over there, it's, like, that kind of stuff. So, yeah. But, so Royston Murphy is returning with her third album. She took a long time off from 2007's Overpowered, and because you were telling me she had a baby. Yeah, Kyle knows more about this than I do.
I'm reiterating on Kyle's note. Yeah. she had two kids.
Like, she had two kids.
Yeah,
so
took a break for being a mother.
Mm-hmm. And so she finally comes back with her, like, fans have been waiting for a while for this new album, so it's been 8 years for Hairless Toys. And describing Royston Murphy's sound, I didn't listen to her older albums. I listened to one of them when it came out, but it's been a long... Because she has some pretty... weird album covers that's why I remember her albums more than anything else. I don't really know how to describe her. I mean, it's like kind of poppy, but it's
kind of like if Bjork kind of, like, sure, mixed with more of a Kylie Minogue or Robin, you know, like female-led, like, very powerful singers.
Yeah. That's that kind true, of stuff. Yeah. But not
a mixture,
like,
of down tempo, but also pop.
Right, because she doesn't have that, like, booming pop voice like Robin does or Lady Gaga or anything. No. She has, like, it's much more low key and laid back,
like,
kind of.
She has, like, a contralto voice, so it's, like, very low key, like, down tempo.
Right. And so,
like,
what
I think on Overpowered, she that was, like, her bigger album for her, especially in the UK. Just because it was a little more poppy.
Mm-hmm.
So
was it the same style as this? I mean, is this consistent, I guess, with what she's been doing before?
This one is a lot darker, both in lyrical themes and also, like, the structure of, like, what the music.
Mm-hmm.
But she's always done the same kind of, like, disco, techno,
house
kind of stuff.
Right.
So yeah.
She's not delineating from her style too much. And so this new album is... feels a lot longer than it is, I would say. It's like, it's pretty short. It's only like 8 songs, but man,
apparently
she
had like 36 tracks, and then she cut it down to whatever it is.
God,
like eight
tracks now. Wow,
they're long, like electronic.
They're long electronic stuff, but they're not dubsteppy, nor are they. I want to say, like, what's the word? Like, experimental or anything like that. Like, it's not like there's anything really going on with them. They just kind of just trot along.
Yeah.
And they're all really, this album's really sleepy. Like, it really, like, one song, like, flows into the next in a way where it's kind of like also if, like, maybe, like, Sugar Rose, like, made a more, like, pop album almost.
Sure.
Like, it just...
Yeah, and I mean, in an interview, she's talked about how a lot of it's kind of like one song is kind of, like, talking about the gay scene in New York and kind of influenced by a particular film. I can't remember now.
I remember reading that.
It's Paris is Burning. That
was that it?
Oh. I think so. A lot of the themes, both are like personal romantic themes or like kind of looking at your life and being really set. Like, there's a few lyrics that really came out where she's talking about, like, do I have enough money to just, like, have another day where I'm just sad and, like, by myself? Right. And so it makes sense that a lot of the songs are like more down tempo and
sure.
It doesn't make. I really liked Overpowered, and I liked, I think it's Ruby Blue, the first one.
Yeah.
Just because they're really, they have more of that pop, like, disco tack that she, mm-hmm. she really started her career with. This one's a little more, like, a little more experimental, at least for her. Not, mm-hmm. like, super, like, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it does make for kind of, like, a sleepy listen overall.
Yeah, it's really, really sleepy. Like, I listened to this album a couple times, and I think it actually finds a little bit of groove at the end. I thought that, it was, like, Unputdownable, like, right at the end. I thought that, like, it was starting to, things kind of picked up near the end with those last couple tracks.
Yeah, well, that one has, like, a weird, like, kind of a country ballad kind of sound.
Yeah, like, yeah, it does. Yeah.
Which she usually
probably more memorable is why.
Yeah, yeah, and it's bigger. Like the songs, they're a little more epic and in tone and like mm-hmm. scope.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, I mean, like I remember, you know, I remember Exploitation like got that was like our first like single from this, and I remember like reading about it when it's coming out, and I just found, I mean, that doesn't have anything to do with the album. I just found this album to be very boring. It's just, you know, it's background music. It doesn't like
Exploitation in general. Like when they first put those out, it was, mm-hmm. like, a single, like, truncated version. And I don't like the album version because it's, like, it's longer. And it's just kind of, like, she keeps repeating the phrase, like, who's exploiting who.
Yeah.
And I like the actual, like, ideas behind that. Like, whether it's, like, an artist interaction with fans or, like, the record label. But then it's also, like, male-female dynamics.
Right.
And it's cool stuff for, like, it's more heady stuff for a electronic musician that
is usually
doing stuff that's more true. Poppy and like disco player, yeah. But it tends to be a drag like when you're actually listening to it.
I mean, I agree. I was reading into some of the stuff about the ideas that were going into these songs and like what she's trying to say with it, but I didn't get that from my listens at all. It's like, you know, I like the thought process of like injecting pop music with more, I guess, I don't want to call them serious issues, but just interest issues that pop music doesn't normally deal with.
Right.
So
more than just like, I love this person.
Yeah, or I'm heartbroken or whatever. Like, yeah, and so, like, it's interesting to see that going on, or at least the ideas behind it, but at the end of the day, it doesn't make... That can be there or not be there, and it really doesn't make a difference, because the songs are still just, like, super boring. Like, they're just really... They're pretty slow.
I don't think all of them are bad. Like, I wrote down, like, I really like Uninvited Guests that have kind of, like, a Grace... She really likes Grace Jones, which I kind of recently started listening to her. It has, like, a funky kind of... sheen to it,
mm-hmm.
and then I really like Evil Eyes that has more of your usual like cosmic disco like really well produced kind of feel to it.
Sure.
So it's just not as good as the first two.
Right.
Comes down to it, and it sucks because I think a lot of people like I didn't hate it. Mm-hmm. I think it was just kind of like a little let down. And I think a lot of people like in the UK still really like it. Like,
they do. I was looking at Metacritic before this, and like it's got a high rating, and it's all from European like outlets.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, she's still really renowned over there. I don't want to make it sound like I hated this album. It's just for me, the album doesn't feel like it's worth your time, though, is what it is. Like, I just feel very much like it was okay to listen to, but there wasn't any standout tracks to it or anything interesting going on in the production.
Yeah.
Like, maybe there's interesting ideas that are trying to be done with it, but there's nothing, for me, there's nothing memorable about this. Like, I listened to it, like, yesterday, and I have no memory of it still. Like,
yeah.
It's just, it kind of just washes over you.
Yeah, and I think the parts that I really gleaned, it was from, like, the second and third listen.
Mm.
And it was more, like, lyrical stuff, which I normally don't listen to her further, her lyrics. Like, House of Glass is about kind of, like, whether it's her or someone else, I don't know her mm-hmm. personal history, it's kind of, like, a broken home situation.
Right.
That kind of, like, dissolving. And I thought that was pretty interesting, the way it was constructed, both lyrically and how it interacted with this kind of, like, down-tempo,
sure.
disco, techno kind of beat.
Right. This honestly reminds me so much of Madonna's new album. Like, it's just, like, there's ideas going on here. It's kind of proggy at times, because these tracks are long, and it does just indulge in these repetition of lines and or parts of the music, and it doesn't really go anywhere
with it.
She's
always had really cool, like, production elements, because she's worked with, like, Matthew Herbert.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Who's very, very experimental.
Yeah.
Like, he had that whole album where he, like, went through like the life of a pig that was being slaughtered. And so
she's, about that one, yeah.
Yeah, she's always like worked with people that are very, very like on the cutting edge.
Right. Or,
like, you know, have a statement to say in addition to being like more beat centric.
Sure, sure. No, that's, I mean, it's cool. I definitely, I don't know. For me, I don't have any, after listening to it, I don't feel indulged to like want to go back and explore other stuff, even if it's supposed to be like really good. Like, yeah. I'm just kind of like, nah, like this wasn't for me.
Right.
And
I'm more excited because I never got to see her when she toured. Like, she toured a lot for Overpowered.
Oh.
And I got into her like towards the tail end of that.
Sure.
She did come over to the States, and I hope she does for this because she's very, another part of her is that she's very into like fashion, like,
oh,
like very strange, yeah, fashion
she's
things.
She's
like
on her own covers, yeah, yeah, she's just up, like,
and that kind of comes in with the whole Bjork similarity.
Except I hate this album cover so much.
With, oh, the new one?
Yeah, the new one. It's
yeah, she has a really cool single cover where she's kind of dressed up like Doc from the Back to the Future series.
Really?
Yeah, it's really great. So and she does that those costume changes for her live shows. Or she
see
used
and I can
to.
I can kind of see her being like an interesting
lots
live show. I feel like a lot of this stuff might work better in the live setting. I can kind of see that happening.
Yeah,
but
it's a very moody release.
Yeah,
like I liked it better when I had headphones on, and anything other than that, like, kind of all washed together.
Yeah, that's, and maybe that was my mistake. Maybe I should have listened to that headphones because yeah, I feel like a lot of this just washed over me. And
it's not a best ever. Like, I like Ruby Blue and definitely
sure.
Overpowered. Really
right.
Because that those have like really strong signals. Singles.
Maybe I'll go back and listen to them. Kind of curious too, but like
Overpowered. It's a really good one.
I'll try to. I mean, I've been meaning, I listened to a little bit more of Mew and I like them a lot. I thought Mew was really fun. So
yeah.
Like that got me into them. So If you're saying it is, I believe.
If you're bored, maybe check it out.
I just put stuff on at work, so
yeah.
But anyway, okay. Any other final thoughts on Royce and Murphy's Hairless Toys? Which I don't even get why it's called that, but yeah.
The story. This is my final say.
Yes.
The story about Hairless Toys is that in the studio, I think she was working with like her producer, and it was just like a misheard thing. And
oh, okay.
It has no meaning.
It's like an inside joke, I guess.
Yeah, kind of like that, like a misquote, and then they put it there and. And of course, like in press releases, they say like, now it's like gained all this meaning, like it has something to do with like the sound of the record,
yeah,
and, like
no,
the lyrics.
Toys that don't have hair.
So at first
Mr.
I thought,
potato.
Like, isn't that a type of dog, hairless toys? Like there's toys.
Oh, I don't know. I definitely don't
know. So I thought it was going to be like, I guess it makes sense from a very abstract kind of
it
feel
sounds
because
like,
yeah,
yeah.
The
like
sound of the
thing.
Record is very
sure.
sleek and like
sure.
kind of like. The type of dog that a runway model would
yeah, no, that's like, true. That's very
this
true.
This is being
actually.
Very like esoteric.
It's
about
very, very
the
true.
The sound of the record is comparing it to a dog.
Exactly. So okay, so that's your final thoughts, and you
yeah, that is.
Do you recommend this to anybody?
I recommend it to like the most diehard
yeah.
Roisin Murphy fans, but other than that, like go check out Overpowered because I think that's still really good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that is Royce Murphy's new album, Hairless Toys, and that is all for episode number 151 of Test Patterns.
That's a good one.
Thank you, as always, for listening. It was a good episode. Thank you for listening, as always. Thank you, Kyle, for being here in the flesh.
You. It's a shoulder right there.
Yeah, that's
a shoulder
touch, in case you didn't hear that, people. And we'll see you again next week, same time, same place, same internet. Kyle.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Sitting here now with you and the kids in our cozy home in this beautiful free country, it just makes me feel that I'm really a lucky guy.
Dad, your hand is jammed in the toaster!
What's that?